Shteichus. Such a good parish and all the Mamakaimis. You'll get out early today. I owe you time also, Tashlumin from last week, I think. But, so I'm trying to make it up. Okay. The constant thread, I think we saw through the last few weeks that Rabbi pointed out very well, is we have to look exactly what's the root of the impending damage that's coming, and when the damage is considered that it caught on to something, or whether it's free-floating out there. Meaning that if so, Reuven gave Shimon a pikadon, gave him a gold brick to watch, and all of a sudden a bunch of thieves bust into the door 3 days later and say, "Give me the gold." So what's causing that redifa? It's not they came out of the blue. It's not that they came out of the sky. Obviously, they're coming, or as we saw, we can assume, according to many shittas, that what's driving this event, what's driving the event, the causal factor of this event, is the fact that there's gold. People know that there's gold in the house. So the gold is the hot potato in this example. So therefore, when he has to give the gold up, because otherwise he's going to suffer bodily harm, so he doesn't have a din of a maise, he's giving up. The guy's going after the gold. Why you have no chiyuv to give up your pain and suffering to save someone else's gold? The gold is what's driving is the factor. As opposed to, let's say we did the other week, if Reuven and Shimon were shutfim and they stole jewelry, and then the pirates found out. So what's driving the redifa? What's driving the redifa is the fact that people did a geneva. Now, who did the geneva? Well, we have some shutfim over here. Everyone had a part of the deal. Well, even though there's bodily harm involved, you can't just pass all the blame to somebody else and pass out potato, because this is coming to. This is your potato. We said also last week that if someone's Isaac v'zayufim, he's doing forgeries. That's his business, and it's known that if it'll be caught on to, the government will punish collectively the. You know, they'll do a pogrom, they'll kick the Yidden out of the country, whatever it is, there'll be a collective punishment. So we said that even the Yachid, not only can does Beis Din have a chiyuv to be nice to him, because he's being masak in the tzibah, he's causing tremendous potential harm to the tzibah, but even if an alila comes to the Yachid, they go to one, they know that Reuven, the government knows Reuven, knows who's forging. And if we put the vise on him, we'll be able to get that out. So we said in that case, Reuven could inform the government who's doing the forgery. So it was talked about last week a little bit. I just want to expand on it, because there's a few ways to look at it. We said it's because he was masakin the rabbim, just to give the parish. Some people learn it up, and it's wrong, but some people learn up, they say, well, because the guy, as we see, because it does apply in other halachas, the guy is a pesheya, the guy who's doing the forgery, he knows he's causing, someone's going to take a hit for what he's doing. We don't know who it is. It's a free-floating damage that could land anywhere, but he's doing something that can cause a hit. So some people want to say, so therefore, if the yachid got the hit, since this guy is doing it b'kavana lahazik, so therefore, you can deflect back whatever he threw your way. That's not true, lalacha. That's not the reason. I looked around a little bit. I found the tshuva saw Zerua. He brings a case, even if the guy is doing a mitzvah, he mentions at the end of the tshuva, the guy does bismillah for gerim. That's what that's what he does. And there's time back then when the whole town deserved misa if something like that happened. It was very serious stuff, and he wasn't doing it to hurt anybody. He was doing it l'shem mitzvah, and there's an inyan for it. But bottom line, this is a dangerous thing. He has a din. The hezek to be meiser, the latter be meiser. Even though he's doing a mitzvah, he's not doing a hezek. So it's nothing to do with whether the guy is doing being a peshay, is doing something wrong, and now we're doing it. The thing is, because if someone is doing something on a regular basis that causes there to be a free floating einish out there, that's someone we said that's someone that we allowed the Beis Din allowed to be meiser on. And so what the Shulchan Aruch Rav was saying was that even though now. So this guy, he's forging, we're allowed to, Basin's allowed to inform the government. The only guy who's doing forgeries is Reuven over there. Even if now the problem lands on Shimon's plate, why is he allowed to say to tell him if it's Reuven who's doing it? Only because that already we're mutter to already the tzibah is mutter to say who it is. So just because Shimon came, you might think, oh well, we learned the other week that if you have free floating punishment that's going around and we don't know where it's going to land and it lands on someone, he's not allowed to tell it belongs to someone else. That's what we said, that Ein Adam Nifas Sam Amam Shel Chaveiro. When is that? That's when it was a one time thing, or it's not a continuous thing. But if someone has a continuously creating the threat out there, so we said we were allowed to be Meisa, so then even if it falls on a Yachid, you might think, oh, once it already landed on someone, that's it. Now he's stuck with the hot potato. No. Once we already had a Hetter to inform on the first guy, it was this, even the Yachid that it fell on was allowed to fall on it. Again, it's a lot of chilukim and the very, very fine distinction. So, like everything, you know, can't paskin on this. Even the other stuff we do, last year also we did a lot more. A lot of the things we did, we got more clear guidelines, and a person could feel a little comfortable to maneuver it somewhat. But this is real serious stuff. But what I think another thing that does point out, and what we see is what we think is balabatim is not necessarily how the world works. I mean, the Torah, Baruch Hashem created the Torah; he knows how it works. I give the example where, I don't know if it's true, but this is what they say: if someone throws a stick at the dog and it hits the dog, the dog will start barking at the stick. Obviously, the stick is not the one that caused the harm to the dog. It's the person that threw the stick that caused the harm to the dog. So it's the same thing in halacha. We're basically looking backwards. When Hashem threw out this pekel, where was it destined to go? What was the intent in Shemayim as to where this sorrow should fall on and where who should get damaged from it? Like we said, the example last week where the sanitation department had the records wrong, and if the garbage ticket on, let's say, house number 604, but number 600 is the one who gets the garbage bills. As long as number 604 didn't do anything to cause himself a ticket, it was because other people threw garbage on his lawn or whatever. So number 600 is the one who takes the hit. Why? Because really, it's not like we think in America. We think, well, this is the guy who deserved the problem. It's his problem. Why am I suffering for him? No, this guy didn't do anything wrong. Number 604 didn't do anything wrong. It came from Shemayim. Okay, it was his address was a shliach for you to get it on you. But really, in Shemayim, that's where it was destined. There's another case this week where it really shows out, the difference on how our knee jerk thought process, in America works, but really in Shemayim, and if you think about it, it's not the case. There's a guy, he went rented for his whole family, he went to Sukkot for Eretz Yisrael, he rented a dira in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot, right? So he gets there, a week before, a week after, plus Sukkot, he gets there, and for 3 days, he can't figure out how to get the hot water to work in the showers. So they're taking freezing showers. They're schwitzing every day. They have to take showers every day, and they're freezing away. Finally, by the third day, they realize the hot water is broken. Hot water is broken. Seems that the system died since the last person who rented it, I don't know how much earlier. So, till the repairman came out, it took a day or two till they finally were able to get the repairman, and the landlord, sent the repairman, but it takes a day or two till the guy gets out, and then the repairman says, okay, we'll do this and it'll be fixed, and they have to wait around for the repairman, and didn't work, and then now the next day he has to come back again, and all sorts of time. And after 9 days of being with cold water, the system finally was up and working. So the landlord didn't get paid the full amount in advance for the rent. So the vacationer is holding on to the bulk of the money. And as far as the vacationer was concerned, listen, you ruined my whole vacation. I spent a fortune, tickets, everything to go from America to Eretz Yisrael, and I spent a few days dragging around in your apartment waiting for the repairman and everything else. And, we had to take freezing showers. We went to vacation to relax, to have a good time. Instead, it was all tense. It was all this. So, in his mind, well, certainly the 9 days come for free, but, there's some other damage too, and, he's taking triple damages and this, that, the other thing. He deserves all his money back plus another few weeks, whatever the dreams are, everyone gets excited. This guy didn't think like that, but, there are people who think like that. But when you look at it sensibly, you look at it in halacha, the owner, he believes it too, the tenant, the owner didn't know that the heat was not working. These systems go after 5, 7, 8 years, and the system was 5 years old. And boom, you know, that's just happened when it fell. And he sent the repairman as soon as was practical. You know, it's not like he, you know, ignored the guy. And he spent money to fix it. You know, he didn't say, I don't want to fix it. You'll live with the culture. He spent the money to fix it. And so who's the cause of the bad vacation? It's not the landlord. The landlord didn't cause the Baruch Shalom caused the bad vacation. Who was going to take the hit? It was the vacationer. Now, of course, an apartment with hot water is worth more than an apartment without hot water. There's an adjustment to be made. And actually, from people from last year, right? So there's a mum, right? So, but we learned he was mishtamish with the mum, yeah. Right? If you're mishtamish with the mum, then you're meichel. Oh, yeah. But it's different over here because we also learned he doesn't have a choice. He's stuck. He's like on the road. What is he supposed to do? Live in the street now? You know, Yerushalayim and Sukkot. You know, you can't just like have your whole choice of any apartment you want to go to, right? You're stuck high and dry. So really. There is an adjustment to be made, but and it's not like there's mechila on the mum, right? But it's not a freebie, you know. I mean, there was some value for having a roof over your head and a place to sleep and cold water.
You would have known before. You would have never entered.
So if again, this, we did the mechitzas last year, but if he would have come and said, "Oh, there's no hot water," tell the person, "Listen, no hot water. Either you fix it now or I'm out of here." He'd have the right to do that because that's a mum in the apartment. But the fact is that because of lack of alternatives, he was stuck in that place, which was fine. But the question is, what's the adjustment? But obviously, the adjustment is there's an adjustment, but he's not chayev to reimburse him for his plane fare and everything else because now he lost on the he didn't have the
enjoyment. I understand.
No, meaning whose mazel was it that all of a sudden the hot water broke and now this guy is the first one to discover it and now is stuck 9 days without hot water? Whose mazel is it? Is it the owner's mazel or is it the vacationer's mazel? Did the owner do anything to cause that? Did he do it with harmfully?
If you rent something, that part of the whole the skirus is that the
right.
It's then it means skirus, not meaning mazik. That's how you have to be.
Machin. Right. He has to. Right.
No question about skirus and mazik. You know, it's not some.
Right. So he doesn't deserve the full rental rate because of that. And if the person said, "I don't want to rent something like that," he had the right to back out. That's correct. But the fact that he ended up to stay there because that was, he didn't have really any alternatives, and the person tried to fix it as you know, conventionally done. It, the guy wasn't left with the right, you know, taste. You would have gone to a 5-star hotel, you know, you would expect that they give it to you for free, they give you a voucher maybe for to come back again, whatever it is. That's not, I mean, business wise you can decide what you want to do, but in terms of halacha, we look just like we did.
Every mazik say to the nizik, listen, I got this broken
game. No, so that's what I'm saying. The halacha is showing you who's responsible and who takes the hit and when is it something that the bullet was meant for the other person, or the bullet was meant for, you know, Reuven, was it meant for Shimon?
It was meant for the landlord, that he was
supposed to be. I understand.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, but he did, the landlord lived in Chutz Laretz also, right? And he rents out his apartment, they come over. Okay. The landlord did his proper due diligence. You're not supposed to. Your water in your house has been working for X amount of years. You didn't expect. That's not something that's normally done in the. I'll tell you, this is a rental apartment. It's not. Oh, very good. Okay. So he pointed out very good, the vacationer could have said, you know, call up the landlord, the heat's not working, and the landlord said, well, you know, I'm here in the States, you know, I'm calling a plumber, he's going to come over and fix it up. So the vacationer would have had the right to say, listen, you know what, I'm on vacation, I didn't travel to Eretz Yisrael to wait for your plumber, so, you know, you work it out. But what happened was that the vacationer thought that each time, oh, it's only going to be another half hour and they're going to fix it, so I'd rather wait around for 2 hours and have the plumber come, and that's why I know I have water and taken care of. Otherwise, it's going to take them a day till you find someone to watch it. And so each time that this happened, the vacationer did it as a toiva. They didn't ask for money. The vacationer could have said, "Listen, you want me to wait? This is what I charge." You know, he would have the right to do that. But they didn't do that. Everything was still friendly at the time, and they did it. They did it out of their own goodwill. So it's no. But so when it was done, when it was done, well, the whole thing again. There's no formula in Shulchan Aruch how much is a bedroom, you know, 4-bedroom apartment worth without hot water or with hot water. There's no adjuster in Shulchan Aruch. Obviously, this thing needs to be some type of pshara, so that could be thrown into it in terms of, listen, the person saved you money because you didn't have to be matriach and pay someone to be a house sitter to do this. So you can use that in terms of trying to, you know, work out a shalom deal between them. But it's not. Yeah.
The whole time you've been saying that the owner of the apartment hasn't done anything wrong. What if he had, let's say, these boiler breaks every 6 weeks, and he had to check before someone actually comes in if it's working?
He knew it was broken.
Would he have been entitled to pay back even the airfares and all that stuff? Like what would happen if actually he did have
it? That they got me. It could be that's not the garmin, not even me.
It would be more complicated. I mean, we don't have to pay back the full airfare, meaning the vacation. I mean, it's bad to take a cold shower, but I'm saying I don't know if that, you know, throws out the whole the whole thing.
It was not a cold water. It was a light sleep.
Right. We'll go on Masira. Okay. Fine. Okay. So basically, the thing is to look at what's the driver of the issue, whether the issue hit or not. Meaning, if Reuven is doing all these terrible things, but he signs his name Levi all the time on all of his traces, and now all of a sudden, when the authorities come in and they go bringing down Levi's back, well. That wasn't a. Reuven didn't create a hazard that's floating out there. Now it's someone's mazel is going to get stuck with it. Reuven put Levi.
Even if it only once.
Right. If Levi put the sight scope on, if Reuven put the sight scope on Levi, so that anyone who comes, everyone's going to come on Levi. That also makes a difference in halacha where you know, whether it was free floating hot potatoes, you know, and who's going to get stuck with it, or whether the guy dumped the hot potato on Levi's
list of stuff. Cash. He says if you don't fix it, you might as well go tell the authorities. You got cash, you pay taxes. Which is occasionally happens in Israel.
Well, that's what we said. We said in the first case that's a mesira. That's using leverage. That's just creating mesira as a leverage. That is also according to everyone. I'll tell you, it's a very. It's unfortunately common. So I just wanted to mention it because I mean, Baruch Hashem, I'm sure it doesn't happen here, but it happens out there. When Chaim and Slana, husband and wife, are having shalom bias problems, and they decide that, you know, there's going to be a get, but sometimes the husband isn't moving as fast as the wife and her family would like things to proceed. So in New York, most of America, I guess, but in New York, the rule is that if a wife claims that there's physical harassment for the children or for herself, so they don't do any drishul hakir, see if it's true or not. They just go straight ahead and put, you know, arrest the husband, put him in jail till he gets bailed out and everything. And that's way, you know, people feel it's a good leverage thing to get the husband a little more relaxed, you know, to you know, don't think that he has the upper hand as much. So. That's Messiah Gemara. I mean, that even though they're doing it for a purpose, and maybe you feel that the husband should be proceeding at a faster pace than he is, but that's but a lot of unscrupulous people advise this is the first step to like start the on the right foot. Besides that, like, just in terms of practicality, it usually just raises the anger of the husband and makes the situation much more escalated and difficult to deal with. That's besides the business aspect. But in terms of the messiah aspect, that person, the husband's really going on a killer now. But okay, that's a pure messiah thing. That's also not also same thing, like, you know, like you said with the date.
That's
messiah, because what are you doing? You have a money argument with the guy, right? Yeah. You have a money argument with the guy, and you're now going to tell on him and cause him damage with the tax authorities if he doesn't work with you the way you want with the money. So what right do you have to cause him the damage? You can't use that as a. It's not like there's a hot potato flying around and the guy had drugs, right? And all of a sudden the cops come in because they were looking for him, they're tracing him, and all of a sudden the guy takes the drugs and he shoves it in your pocket, right? So he's okay, then you're saving yourself, you know, I mean, you know, he's causing you the damage, he's trying to pass on this thing. That's one of the things that we were, you know, more talking about, where there's different angles to say that there would be situations where it's mutter, but the guy's not treating you right in terms of money. So but the masira has nothing to do with the issue at hand. That's just a piece of leverage that's not tied into to everything else. Just to give an example, also one of the chilukim is whether the damage took hold on someone or not. If the damage is free floating, you have the right to get yourself out of it and avoid it, as opposed to once it's landed, then oftentimes it's too late. So you go to a chasana hall and it was raining, and you have your umbrella in the coat room. You know, it's not a manned coat room, and you come and you're ready to leave at the end, and you see one of the waiters taking your umbrella. He's, you know, he doesn't have an umbrella, so he's just going to go to the coat room, take any umbrella, and go home with that. So if you see him looking around for an umbrella and you have the nicest umbrella there, obviously you could quickly whisk away your umbrella and take it because it's yours. And now he's going to go take somebody else's, that you saved yourself the damage before the damage occurred. But let's say you walk in there and he picked up your umbrella, right? So can you say, hey, you know, look at that umbrella, it's much nicer over there. Why, you know, I think you're better off. You know, this is a junky umbrella. That's a good umbrella. So that would be issa of being meiser, saving your money with somebody else's money. Meaning the damage already occurred. Bam, you didn't deserve it. But I mean, obviously you did deserve it. But once already the money came into the honest's hand, already he got it. So now it's your peckle. It's not a free floating thing, and now you want to make sure it doesn't land on you. The peckle landed on you. You can't save yourself with your peckle and start the situation back. We're going back to square one. I'll put my, you know, we'll pretend it didn't happen. We'll put my umbrella back. Now look, which is the best umbrella? You choose. You look around. What's the best umbrella? You can't start the game from zero. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you just say, excuse me, that's my umbrella.
Yeah. You could say, excuse me, that's my umbrella, and
you know,
take it.
Somebody else.
Even though, right, he's going to take somebody else's, but that's okay, because you're saving your money, and it's not vadai damage. Maybe he's not going to take another umbrella because he sees you or not. But you know, you could save your umbrella because the guy is right. That would be okay. Even though there's slight distinctions where a case like this in a different aspect would, you know, they talk about in the the chilek in a lot of these dinim when it comes to other people. Is, and we touched about it on the first week, is if a person has a din of a shut, if the collective group has a din of a shutuf or not. If you shutfim, then you can never, even in a case like this, pass the damage onto someone else. But if you're individuals, then everything is a separate deal. We gave the example of what happened in the schools, where, you know, they have the class placements, and before yeshiva starts, everyone's negotiating, I want my kid out of the bad class, I want him in the good class, but if they put your kid in the good class, obviously they're going to take someone from the good class and throw him into the animal pit with the, you know, with the bad class. Or even in the middle of the year, you're a big donor to the yeshiva, so you have a lot of leverage, and your kid got the bad teacher, and you don't want it, and you tell the school, listen, get switched, or, you know, don't call me, come dinner time. So person, but you know that if they switch your kid, someone's got to come back, and you know, you're taking a person from a good class and a good teacher, and you're putting them into a poor environment. So you don't have a din shut from you and all the other parents. You're not shut from on this deal. Everything's a separate deal. Each person with the yeshiva themselves. So you're allowed to do that because you're just doing with your child what you're doing. Now they want to do something with somebody else because they have a cheshbon. That's not your cheshbon. As opposed to a case where we're shut from, where it's back, you know, in the shtetl, and the whole town, the part says, okay, from this town, you got to raise $2 million a year in taxes. Town members, you know, you could divide up however you want, but you got to make sure $2 million comes into the coffers by the year end. And now the part decides, you know what, $2 million is a little short. I need an extra $100,000. Let me look around. Let me see who's got money. Ah, Reuven the Yid. I know he's got a lot of money. Mr. Reuven, guess what? We have a special tax on you, $100,000 surcharge. Now, Reuven has a good friend who's tight with the pirates, and he could get him off the hook. He could get him off the hook. And now, if he does get him off the hook, so now the pirates will say, okay, I can't get Reuven, let me see who's next. Maybe Shimon, maybe it's Levi. We don't know who it is. But the hot potato goes into the air again, and it's, we don't know where it's going to land. So since the town, when it comes to a tax situation like that, where the town is taxed collectively, so then they have a din of shutfim. So if they have a din of shutfim, so now Reuven can't get, he's not allowed to save himself, because the damage already fell on Reuven, and by saving himself, he's putting it on the other people who are part of the collective group, as opposed to the umbrella. It's the same case as the umbrella, but with the umbrella, we're not shutfim. Each guest is its own situation, right? But as opposed to, I believe so. You could be machalik, but when it comes to let's say the taxes or the yeshiva, certainly each person is its own situation. But when it comes to the taxes in that situation, everyone's a shutuf, so there would be a lach. Like I said, there are a lot of fine lines, a lot of fine distinctions with mesira more than most other chayshim mishpat and yanim. So again, a shayla, but at least we'll have an idea on. But thing, one other just thing I wanted to add from last week, which to also add in, is when someone's a guarantor for somebody else, even though we said ein adam nitzvas al mamon shel chaveiro, so if the guy wants to get money for Reuven, and he decides to take it from Shimon instead, and tell Shimon, well, now you go deal with Reuven about it. So that's Shimon's bad mazel. Reuven has no shaychus with it. However, if let's say Reuven borrowed $1 million from the pirates, and now Shimon guaranteed it, and now the pirates goes and decides with some shtick to take $1.2 million out of Shimon, right? He was only supposed to be getting $1 million back, but already, you know, the safe was open, so you know, we'll just take the whole thing. So now, even though normally we would say Reuven has no chiyuv to, you know, to adjust Shimon for that because he was nitfas al mamon chaveiro, but no, if he came in as a guarantor, if Shimon was a guarantor for Reuven, so why is the guy coming to Shimon? He's coming to Shimon because of Reuven. Again, we have to look at what's driving the bad news. He's coming because of Shimon and something that Reuven and Shimon accepted a chrayus for that the guy could come to him. So then, when it comes to an arev, we say that Reuven, the first guy, is responsible for all the damage that comes to Shimon, even though it was damage that was not according to the rules. He was only allowed to take $1 million. The guy took $1.2 million. Reuven starts to compensate Shimon for $1.2 million that he has to compensate for all the damage on that. Again, just those are a few different.
What's the connection, Sira?
No, we're talking about the nitfas al mamon chaveiro. That why should someone else pay if someone else gets stuck? No, we talked about it last week, right? Not this week's. So yeah, it was more like last week's. We talked about it. Okay, Metzah Shem. Next week we start a new topic, very exciting. Echoyz shel akum, secular courts. So Metzah Shem, Echoyz shel akum, secular courts. So Metzah Shem next week. Ashakayach.